Open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. We will begin tonight again to look at that victorious life in Christ that is represented by the crossing of Jordan and going into the promised land. That goal that had eluded them 40 years earlier. Remember, I pointed out to you that the Bible is such an amazing book. You study chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and you can glean some of the most incredible nuggets of truth. And it's so much like a puzzle. It's a lot of pieces. And you look at the puzzle and you see this piece. And you say, well, there's some really awesome artwork in that piece. And then you begin to put the pieces together and you see an awesome scene as those pieces fit together. But when you back up and you're able to look at the whole puzzle and see the broad picture of what the artist had in mind, the Bible is so grand. As we look through the first five books, we looked at Genesis and we learned of our sinfulness. We looked at Exodus and we learned of redemption in Christ. We looked at Leviticus and we learned about the fact that God has a moral standard and He requires it of us. And He requires that sanctification that would facilitate a close relationship with Him. And he spells out how to do that in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Numbers, we learn of our faith being tested and tried and what the lack of faith gets you. 40 years of wandering in the desert till that whole generation died. A lack of faith will get you. And I'm talking to a child of God. A lack of faith will get you a lot of wandering around aimlessly. Oh, you can be saved and on your way to heaven. You can be saved and right with God. And wandering around through life aimlessly, not standing on the Word of God. But the Word of God being an anchor, the Word of God being a light that directs the path, makes the way clear. The Bible tells us that we should have such a desire for the Bible says, sincere milk of the Word. And in the book of Numbers, they were right there and they were at the edge of this haven of rest. And they said, it's too difficult, it's too great, I can't do it. And that statement, completely taken by itself, they're right. They can't do it on their own. But God had already said, I'll do it for you. They just wouldn't follow Him. And whenever we look at the Word of God and say, the Bible says that, but I'm not going to do it, or I can't do it, or I won't do it, or I don't think it'll work, whatever we say, we're headed for a wilderness journey till God teaches us a lesson. They were in the wilderness 40 years until that whole generation died. We now come to the end of that 40 years. We saw the passing of Moses. We saw God telling them that Joshua's the man to follow after Moses' ministry, and that Joshua's the man to lead them across Jordan. Crossing Jordan into Canaan, again, is a picture of this victorious life in Christ. A victorious life of faith. Resting in Christ. Surrendered to Him. Following Him. We'll not have spiritual rest when God's going this way and we're going that way. Will not have spiritual rest when the Word of God says thus and thus, and I say no. Won't do it. We'll not have spiritual rest. A person may be saved and not have spiritual rest, but wander aimlessly, bounced around between the ideas of this one and the ideas of this one and the ideas over here and the ideas over here, and never being able to really get a good, clear path. And that's what they had in the wilderness for 40 years. And now that generation is gone, and Joshua's going to lead this generation into that promised land. Now, they're literally doing that. This is a literal group of people, 2-3 million people, a literal Joshua crossing a literal Red Sea, Jordan River, sorry, wrong body of water. And this literal group of people is going to go, they are going to go into the promised land. And they're going to take up residence in the promised land. God had said, it's yours. Go take it. But they had to settle it. They had to make it their home. Now, let's illustrate it this way. A person, a family, they buy a new home. Anybody here ever buy a home or move? It doesn't have to be a bought home. You just move from one place to another. Anybody ever wants help moving? I'm your guy. I love it. I love to help somebody move. You know why? That's the easiest thing in the world. You throw it in a truck and you haul it somewhere and you take it out of the truck or trailer and you throw it in their house and you say, have fun! Make sense of that. That's how I got to Ohio. The church people had about six people there, six strong, strapping young men, and they had that U-Haul and trailer unloaded so fast. And they said, good night. And Tina and I and the kids, we looked at each other and said, do you know where my socks are? No idea. Do you know where anything is? Well, no. The house was ours. It had been provided for us by Grace Baptist Church of Fairborn. We had the authority to be there. But we had to settle in and make it home. We had to settle in and make order of that pile in the house. God had given to the children of Israel this land. It's theirs. Now they have to settle in and make order. They have to make it their home. Now, in the process, they're going to encounter giants. They're going to encounter enemies. They're going to encounter hurdles. They're going to have defeats. They're going to have victories. But it's all part of the settling process. It's all part of getting to that place where there's peace and order and you can rest. When you found your socks and your matching trousers that go with the socks and hopefully your shoes. And you can say, I have found order. I have found peace. And made order out of chaos, I can now rest. That's what the Lord was having Joshua to lead the children of Israel to do. Go in to the land that was theirs and make order of it and find peace and rest in it. Now, with 2-3 million people, this is no small task. This is not a family of four moving, you know, from one house to another. This is a huge deal. But God has, in his infinite goodness and greatness, he's got a man, Joshua. And he tells him in Joshua 1, read it with me. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God had prepared a man. Moses was the man God had used to lead them out of Egypt. Moses was the man that God had used to lead them around their wilderness journeys. But Joshua was the man to take him into the promised land. Now, if you remember, there were two. Way back when the 12 spies were sent out to the land to go into the land and spy it out, and the 10 came back and said, "We can't do it, they're too big. We'll never take it." Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do this. We can take this land." My point to telling you that is to remind you that they were both qualified to be Moses' successor. Both Joshua and Caleb were qualified. But only one was called by God to do the actual task. Anytime a church is in need of a pastor, I can give them the name of a half a dozen qualified men that are looking for churches. But they need to find the one that God has for them at that time. Joshua was that one. Joshua was that man. And with him, they were able to go forward, no longer walk in circles, but straight across Jordan and into the promised land. Joshua is described to us in Numbers chapter 14, and I related the story to you where he and Caleb said, "We can do this," and we see him then as a man of faith. His faith was in the Lord, and he knew the Lord was able to deliver the land into their hand. In Exodus 17, we can also see him as a mighty man of war. But most importantly, he was a man of faith, and he was a mighty man of war. But most importantly, he was God's man for that hour and that people. And that is important. When he's relaying the message of God to them, they've got to have a confidence. This is the one God has selected for us now. Because there'll be times, and we'll read about it in a little bit, there'll be times when God has his man to relay kind of a strange message. Chapter 4, Joshua, each of the 12 tribes, each one grab a stone out of the bottom of the Jordan and take it up on the shore, build an altar, build a memorial, I should say. And sometimes the message from God's man will be odd. But if he's God's man for that hour, and he's following God himself, it's the right message for the hour. So Joshua is called upon by God to take them in. God gives him the recipe in Joshua chapter 1, how to be successful and prosperous. Verses 8 and 9. Well, let's start back a little farther in verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." Notice, this journey across the Jordan, this goal of having this haven of rest, this goal of finding that victorious life, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the weak and wimpy, but for the warrior. It's not for the sissies, but the strong He says, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some faith. And you need to be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. What we are reminded of there is that following the word of God will be criticized. You will be looked upon as odd. Lots of times you get questions from people, why do you do that? The answer is, for me, is getting more simple every time I get a question like that. I simply believe the Bible tells me to. It's not any more complicated than that. But he said, be very courageous. Be strong. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Excuse me. So God gives us the importance here of following after the word of God, following God's man. And so now they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Right away in chapter 2, Joshua, and let's read in chapter 2 the first 6 verses. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not, or I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. So you can get the picture. You can get the old, like cowboys and Indians picture, or good guys, bad guys, and the good guys come running up. And they say, which way did the bad guy go? And somebody says, that way. And if you hurry, you can catch him. And meanwhile, they had hidden. She had hidden them up on her roof in the stalks of flax. But she sent them on their way. What I thought out of this brief portion of the story in Joshua chapter 2. And of course, this harlot is used of God to protect these 2 spies. And then she in turn finds the Lord through these 2 guys. And when the city of Jericho is destroyed, she's not. As we strive to settle the land, as we strive to find that victorious life in Christ, we will cross paths with people of the world. Many times, people of the world will be used of God to be a great blessing to us, and in return, us to them. A man in Northwest Ohio took a great liking to me and did some amazing things with me, being completely uneducated in the realms of where I was working and in the realms of management, in the realms of manufacturing and all the things that I ended up doing. I had not trained for any of these things specifically beforehand. I got a lot of on-the-job training, but the opportunities afforded to me was primarily because of one man, and that he took a liking to me, and I tried to work for him and do the best job I could for him. But God used that man to bless me abundantly. And I pray that God use me to bless this man and to be a mutually beneficial relationship. Along the way, as we strive to live in this life and to live the victorious life of resting in Christ, we're not going to do that as islands, isolated unto ourselves. We're going to do that as we interact with people, even people of the world. The relationship that Rahab had with these men was mutually beneficial by every aspect. And so along the way, God may bless you through some of the most... the word escapes me, but this, from some of the most surprising directions. And God may bless them through you as well. In chapter 3, you'll come to the crossing of the Jordan River. Now, we know from verse 15 that the Jordan River had overflowed its banks because that's the traditional thing at the harvest time. And we have, in the crossing of the Jordan River, a feat just as grand as the parting of the Red Sea. Again, we're talking of a couple million, 2-3 million people getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. It's not just a little stream, folks. And we have in Joshua chapter 3, the fact that in this journey of finding that victorious life in Christ, we'll see, as we follow God, we'll see Him do amazing things. Now, I noticed that they had to step out in faith, chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Let's see, 12 through 17. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, but the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, a very far from the city Adam that is beside Zertan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. In this journey of finding this settled rest in Christ, in this victorious life in Christ, as we're serving Him, we'll see God do amazing things. But it also very oftentimes is required that we step out in faith. It's required that we take that step that He's directing. We don't go carelessly in any old direction, but we take that step in the direction that He is leading. Chapter 4 is that passage that I reminded you of about taking the stones up for memorial out of the Jordan, and 12 stones. And there's where you want to know that you have God's man on duty. You want to know that He's the right man at that time, called by God, because it could sound a little odd, but they did it and God blessed it. In chapter 5, we look at 5:1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Those that thought to rise up against the people of God heard what God had done and said, wow. And that was Rahab's testimony. Our hearts did faint when we heard about your God. See, the people of the land had all sorts of gods, but their gods couldn't do any of this kind of good stuff. And your gods, He makes rivers to part. He makes large bodies of waters to part, and 2 or 3 million people can go through on dry ground. And they said, these are not people you want to fool with. Well, chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. This is the end of the taking of Jericho, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. You remember they walked around the outside of Jericho, and now this is the seventh day. They've done it 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord had given you the city, and the city shall be, accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. They walk into the land and they're toppling over cities by marching around the cities. Again, the message of God's man, Joshua, are you sure God told you just to march around the city? Yep. Are you sure? Yep. Joshua, there's not more involved? Well, on the seventh day, you have to march 7 times and shout. Joshua. In the course of this striving for this victorious life in Christ, there'll be great victories sometimes. Amazing victories. God will give you victories over things that you never dreamed you'd have victories over. God will give you victories that you've struggled with for years. Many is the testimony that I've heard that I battled this and I battled that and I battled this, and when the Lord saved me, that battle was over. God will give you victories like you can't believe, in ways sometimes that boggle the imagination. But it's a matter of being faithful to Him. It's a matter of following Him. It's a matter of doing it the way that He says. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with people that literally say to me, I know the Bible says this, but... And I was in a discussion with a man one time, and when he got to that point, I closed my Bible and scooted it over into the middle of the table, and I said, then we have nothing to talk about. If that is the situation, and you know that's what God says, and you're just not going to do it, I'm run out of things to say. And I had with this fellow. They obeyed God. And they won an amazing victory. But look at chapter 6 and verse 19. God gives them this instruction. As he's instructing them on taking Jericho and other cities in the land, he gives them this instruction, 6:19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Whatever silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron that you find, they're God's. You can't have them. You're going to have the spoils of the town, but you can't have those items. They're God's. And after this incredible victory that we find at Jericho, chapter 7 comes along, and you've got little know-nothing Ai. Little bitty band and nobody's. They said, only send 2,000 or 3,000. There's just a little bitty dot over here. We can take them with 2,000 or 3,000. Easy. And Ai, the men of Ai, the warriors of Ai, sent the people of God packing. What happened? And that's exactly what Joshua wanted to know. He rent his clothes, he fell on the ground before God, and he said, what happened? Here we're taking Jericho by marching around it. Over there we've got Ai, and we send our soldiers, and they give us a whooping. And Joshua falls before God in the earlier parts of chapter 7, it says, what happened? And God says in let's start first in verses 5 and 6. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, and they caused them from before the they chased them from before the gate, even to Shiborim, and they smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, and he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. In the battles of this life and mingled in amongst the victories will be defeats. And our hearts will melt before God and we'll say, where did that come from? I was walking with the Lord and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, I'm over here and I don't know how I got here. And that's where they were. They had this incredible victory. Maybe it kind of went to their head. I don't know. But what I do know is this. God had given them one command. Do not take the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron. That's mine. And Achan took the silver and hid it. Read with me in verse 10 through 12. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you at any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. So you have this victory, and out of nowhere comes this defeat. But out of that comes a renewed sense of, Lord, what will you have me do? I got off the path, get me back on. And God said, Joshua, this is simple. There's sin in the camp. In verses 20 and 21, the sin's identified. Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. When we fall on our faces before God, and especially the environment is right after a good whooping, and we say, God, where did I get off path? And He'll show you. He'll identify the sin. If you're open to Him, if you fall before Him, and He'll identify it for you, and then He'll say, get rid of it. And that's what He told them. Get rid of it. Now, they had a pretty gruesome task ahead of them. Look with me in verse 25. Joshua speaking to Achan, he said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. God told them to get rid of the sin. God told them to purge the transgressor. And that's what God requires of you and me. Along our journeys, and there will be times of victory and times of defeat, there will be renewed times of falling before God and saying, Oh God, show me, teach me. When He reveals the sin, when He reveals what needs to be changed, we better be ready to change it. We better be ready to obey God. Because God had told him, I won't be with you when you go to battle anymore. Look, you're out there on your own. Now apply that to us today. You want to face the adversary on your own? You're no match. I'm no match. I need God. And if there's sin separating us, there won't be any peace in your life. There won't be any rest in your life. There won't be any victorious life in Christ in your life. God, help each one of us to find this victory in Christ. Joshua is a book of showing us the ups and downs and the battles to arrive at that place of rest. They were going through it physically, literally. We are going through it spiritually every day. May God help us. As Hebrews says, to labor, to enter into that rest. Follow after and obey God.